The Monthly Coach, The Cure for Fear.
Welcome to this month's issue of The Monthly Coach, and I'm absolutely delighted to be able to share with you The Cure for Fear. On this program, I'm going to offer you a complete system to help you transcend fear so that you can live your best life. In particular, as we go through this session, I'm going to explain how fear works to sabotage your life and prevent you from achieving the authentic success you know you deserve. As well, we're going to go through how fear manifests itself and plays out through our lives. I'm also going to share what I've identified as the 12 core human fears. In my work around the world as a success coach and running workshops like the Awakening Best Self Weekend or the Elite Performer Series, which is our leadership process, I've identified the 12 core human fears. And I'm going to explain those to you to give you a greater sense of awareness so that when they appear in your life, you can make better choices. We're also going to examine cutting-edge research into why we actually fear. Is there some value in fear? Where does fear come from? And then finally, I'm going to offer you what I believe is an actual cure for fear. 8 powerful tools that will truly change your life if you apply them on a consistent basis. You know, I believe that fear is the primary limiter of human greatness. If you look around the world and you look at people playing at much less than their highest human potential, and you ask yourself why, it can be stated in one word: fear. Fear keeps us small. Fear prevents us from doing our dreams. Fear prevents us from living our authentic lives. Fear prevents us from opening our hearts to love and all the richness that our lives are meant to be. And the sad thing is that most of our fears are not real. They're pure fantasies. They're mental constructs. They're almost hallucinations or stories that we tell ourselves as to the way the world works, but they're not based on truth. And another thing I have to mention is that the very fact that we are human means that we have fear. I've yet to meet the perfect human being, and I've yet to meet a human being who has no fear. In my own life, what I've realized is when I go through some fears that have been limiting me, and I get that growth, so they no longer hold any power over me, life sends me my next series of fears to deal with. The top of one mountain is always the bottom of the next. And when you get to the top of a great mountain, what do you see? Other peaks to scale. So that is in many ways this growth school that we call life. It's a constant exercise of looking at your fears, moving through your fears with the tools that I'm going to share with you, and then dealing with your next series of fears. One of the greatest fears that I've struggled with has actually been a fear of public speaking. And that might surprise you, given that that's how I spend so much of my days. But I still remember when I was in university, and especially when I was in law school, I actually structured my entire law school curriculum so as to avoid getting up on my feet and giving a speech. And that fear kept me small. And it really was a story that I told myself. If I get up and share what I have to say, perhaps I'll fail. Or perhaps people won't like what I have to say. Or perhaps I'll look foolish. We see the world not as it is. We see the world as we are. And that kind of chatter that was going on within me was a reflection of my fears. The fact of the matter was, I was a good speaker. And it wasn't until I reached a point in my life where I said, I've had enough, and I'm going to deal with this fear. And the big idea is really this: what you resist will persist, but what you befriend, you will transcend. And the day I decided to befriend my fear and get to know my fear and stand in my fear was the day I began to let go of my fear of public speaking. It makes me think of a story. There was a wise master, and one day he was visiting a very special temple in a place very far away. And as he approached this temple, he saw these dogs, these ferocious dogs with these chains, and they were barking, and he could see their teeth, and they were foaming at the mouth, and it was a very frightening sight. And the person that the master was walking with said, "Don't worry, these dogs are on chains, they can't harm you, but I know they look scary." So the master continued walking, and he walked past the barking dogs into the temple. And then he turned around, and he couldn't believe what he saw. Both of the dogs broke free of their chains, and the dogs started running directly towards the master. Well, rather than running away, what the master did was very interesting. He actually started running directly towards the dogs. And they were running towards him, and then they see the master running directly towards them. The dogs didn't know what to do. They were surprised. And what did they do? They actually turned around and ran away. And I think that's a powerful metaphor for how to handle fear. See, if we run away from our fears, if I ran away from my fear of public speaking, even to this day, it would own me. I would be so limited in my life. But the day I decided to run towards my fear, I actually began to transcend my fear. And that's been one of the key strategies that I've noticed in so many of the CEOs and wildly successful entrepreneurs that I've worked with as a success coach. They feel their fears and they still run towards them because we all have fears. Courage in so many ways is not an absence of fear. Courage in so many ways is feeling the fear and paying attention to the fear and then still doing the thing that you're frightened to do. I think that's one of the best ways to live your biggest life. Aside from my fear of public speaking, let me give you another example of how fear can play out in our lives. How about the entrepreneur who says he or she doesn't want to take their business to the next level because they think it might fail if they take that risk? Behind that thinking is fear. Fear of failure. Fear of not being good enough. I'll give you another example. How about the manager within the workplace who puts on this social mask and talks in a way that they think they need to talk in order to look successful and powerful? I call it airport lounge syndrome. I spent a lot of time in airport lounges, and it never ceases to amaze me how people speak in airport lounges. It's not real. It's not authentic. It doesn't ring true. It's how those business people think that they need to talk and how they think they need to sound in order to sound like a professional. And why does this manager talk like that? Why does this manager say, Bob, can you give me the implications of the ramifications on the merger, on the acquisition behind the deal? I believe they talk like that because at a core level, they're afraid to be themselves. They're afraid of what other people would think if they took down that social mask and let a little bit more of their humanity into the workplace. And the irony really is, what people want is for you to be real. The best way to connect to another human being, whether it's a teammate at work, whether it's a child at home, whether it's your best friend or your life partner, the best way to connect is to be real. You see, when you take down your social mask and you have the courage to do that, even though you do feel afraid, you give the person in front of you the permission to take down their social mask. And then you have two human beings being real with each other. And that's when the magic begins. That's when you get true connection. That's when you get true understanding. Now, you might be wondering about this very word I'm using, fear. So often when I'm coaching someone and I look at one of their limiting patterns or some limiting behavior that's keeping them from living their highest lives, and I'll say, well, that sounds like you might be in fear about this or that. And they'll look at me and say, no, I'm not in fear. Because so many of us think that fear is that sweat-filled terror type of fear. But fear comes in so many forms. As I just suggested, being afraid to be authentic at work and taking down your social mask and being who you truly are is a form of fear. I'll give you another example. Needing to always be in control is also a reflection of fear. It could be fear of the unknown or fear of being controlled. I'll give you yet another example. Let's say your organization is going through a lot of change. The whole industry is changing. The whole organizational structure is changing. Maybe you're in sales and the territories that you represent is changing. And that brings up anxiety and you get frustrated. Well, here's a big idea. Behind that anxiety and behind that frustration is fear. It's a fear of change. It's a fear of the unknown. It could be a fear of failure. It could be a fear of letting go of everything you've always known about your organization and the way you work. But please remember, on the other side of your fear lives your best life. Fear is actually a giant opportunity to get to know yourself at a whole new level. If you really want to know what's limiting you in your life, what's really limiting you from personal greatness, it's your fear. And once you get to know those fears that are playing out in the various areas of your lives, whether it's at work or in your relationships or with your friends, when you get to know those fears by standing in those fears and not running away from those fears and just being with those fears, you actually begin to get the growth that will take you to the next level. I guess what I'm really saying is your fears are signposts of where you need to grow. And once you get that growth, you actually move to the next level and even the highest level of your life. So fears are actually not bad. Fears are actually wonderful teachers. And yet most of us run away from our fears. Most of us look for escapes from our fears. If there's something that's frightening us, if there's something that's frustrating us, if we're afraid to take a risk, or let's say we're afraid to have a difficult conversation, so many of us escape into soft addictions like television or eating or needing to be in the company of people rather than just confronting those fears. And as I've said before, what you resist will persist. And yet what you befriend, you begin to transcend. In my mind, our greatest fears are like these scary monsters that are mental constructs. So we look at a fear of public speaking, or we look at a fear of living our highest potential, or if we look at our fear of taking risks, we make them out to be these big scary monsters, and they just make us feel afraid. And so we generally run away from them. As a matter of fact, we structure our entire lives so as to avoid dealing with those fears. And as a result, those fears own us. But when you reach deep within yourself, deep within your power center, deep within your character, and actually begin to know those fears and befriend those fears, and rather than avoiding them, you actually run towards them like that master in the temple, those fears begin to shrink and they actually begin to leave you. And I guess what I'm really inviting you to do on a consistent basis, if you want to live your best life, is to walk down to the cellar and whisper to those fears to come on upstairs for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and get to know those fears and hang with those fears. And so few people do that. And yet if you are one of those people, and I know you will be, those fears begin to shrink and you begin to become more confident. And every time you move through a fear, you grow and you do become more powerful. And then what happens? You begin to move to the next fear. And then you overcome that and become more confident. And it's a constant upward spiral of confidence and greater power that will lead you to your highest life. So when I talk about fear, I'm not just talking about the terror-filled type fear that we might face in a very dangerous situation. I'm talking about the fears that present themselves each and every day in your relationships and at work and at home and while you're driving to work and while you're with yourself. And you might not think those are fears, but they are fears. And some of the examples I've given you have been a fear of being yourself, or a fear of taking risks, or a fear of managing change, or a fear of opening your heart, or a fear of losing control. How about a fear of rejection? How about anger? Behind anger is fear. Here's a very powerful idea. Before anyone gets angry, they get frightened. I'm going to repeat it again because it's so incredibly powerful. Before anyone gets angry, they have been frightened. So let's say you're at work. You're in a meeting, let's say, and you say something, and all of a sudden, your coworker's reaction is one of anger. She gets mad at you. She starts yelling at you. Well, I guarantee you, before that coworker got into anger, that coworker got frightened. You said something which triggered an ancient wound or a fear-based belief within that coworker, which then set them into anger. And it could have been a fear of not being good enough, or a fear of being judged, or a fear of failure. The actual fear depends on the situation, but just trust that before someone goes into anger, or more importantly, before you get angry, you get frightened. So every time you get angry, that is another opportunity for you to get to know yourself at a whole new level, to get to know something that's limiting you. When you get angry, you can ask yourself, what did I just get afraid of? What just frightened me? How about perfection? Behind perfection is also fear. You look at someone who was running a perfection schema. Nothing is ever enough for that person. No matter what they do, they still don't feel like it's enough. They always need to be perfect. Well, behind that is what? It's a fear. It's a fear of not being good enough. It's a fear of failure. It's a fear of scarcity. And then you look at other things that play out on a daily basis in our lives. Negativity. Behind negativity is fear. You look at someone who resists playing their highest game, or you look at someone who's going through a mild phase of depression. Behind that is all fear. So what I'm really suggesting is fear plays out in so many areas of our lives. And the more you can get to know your fears, the more you will be at choice. As I've said so many times on previous sessions, I call it my three-step success formula. With better awareness, you can make better choices. And with better choices, you are certain to see better results. Again, with better awareness of your fears, you will make better choices. For example, when a fear comes up, you'll say, that's my fear of not being good enough. That's my fear of rejection. Or that's my fear of not being loved. So with that awareness, you can now make a better choice. You can actually catch yourself in the moment and make a better choice. Rather than getting angry, you can be love. You can be kind. You can be compassionate. Not only to the person who's sitting across from you, but to yourself. And with better choices, you're going to see better results. I recently had the pleasure to speak with Ken Blanchard, the author of so many bestsellers, including Who Moved My Cheese and The 1 Minute Manager. And Ken and I spent a lot of the day together getting to know each other, and he's really a wonderful man. And one of the things he said that I don't think I'm ever going to forget is this. He said, when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, you have a choice. You can give them rudeness, or you can give them love. And I think life does in so many ways come down to choices. And when we have self-knowledge of our fears, and when we know ourselves, and when we're at a conscious place about our behavior and our attitudes and our beliefs and our fears, we can make those better choices. And those better choices definitely create a better reality and a better life. Okay, let's get into what I call the 12 core human fears. I run a weekend workshop you may have heard of called the Awakening Best Self Weekend. And if you're really serious about taking your life to the highest level, I strongly encourage you to attend. People from all around the world, from many walks of life, have attended these 2.5 days. And they've seen their lives transform. They've seen their relationships transform. They've seen their careers move to all new levels. It's a very, very powerful process. On the first night of the Awakening Best Self Weekend, at the end of the night, all of the participants in the room go through an exercise to release their three largest fears. And having observed so many people from around the world going through this exercise, it never ceases to amaze me how almost every one of us struggle with the same core human fears. It's so interesting to me to see on the Friday night at the beginning of the ABS weekend, all these people come in with these social masks on, trying to look good, trying to look sophisticated, trying to look like they have it all together, because we all do that, don't we? We all pretend that we have it together, even when on the inside we might be falling apart. So many of us go through life with the social mask on, and yet on this first night of ABS, we all come together and we strip away the barriers and we become really real. And everyone in the room talks about their fears, and the magic in the air is almost palpable. But one of the biggest takeaways I get from that experience is that we're all struggling with the same things. Sometimes we put these people up on pedestals. You look at a Richard Branson, or you look at a Nelson Mandela, or you look at a Dalai Lama, or you look at movie stars, or you look at Tiger Woods, or you look at Mother Teresa, and you look at these people and you say, wow, these people must be so gifted, and we pedestal them, and we think that they don't live in fear. And yet every single one of us struggles with the 12 core fears, because to be human is to deal with fear. Now, the real key, and I know you know this, is to figure out what your fears are, to look at these 12 core fears, and then to begin to do the inner work so you begin to transcend them. And I want to be very clear. Once you begin to do your inner work around these fears, you definitely begin to let them go. But it's not like you will ever be free of fear, because once you move through one of the 12 core fears, then the next pieces begin to come to you. And your whole life is in so many ways that inner work of moving through your fears. The good news is, as you move through your fears, you become more powerful, and the things that bothered you or frustrated you or irritated you or frightened you in the past no longer frighten you. So you do move into a whole new level of possibility and beauty in your life. So what are the 12 core human fears that I've identified in so many of the people that I've worked with or coached? Well, first of all, a fear of failure. Everyone struggles with a fear of failure. And yet I know you know this. There can be no success without failure. So by running away from failure and fearing failure, you're actually preventing yourself from achieving the success that I know you deserve. The people who achieve the most fail the most. I fail on a consistent basis. Why? Because I take so many risks. Because I want to really play my biggest game as a human being. And as a result, I push myself. I leave the safe harbor of the known on a consistent basis. I try new things. I dream these dreams that no one else sees. And many of those dreams fail. And I understand that failure is simply a part of the process. I used to be frightened by it. Now I embrace it. To me, failure is nothing more than market research. Failure to me is nothing more than an opportunity to see what's not working so I can actually get to what is working. So the first core human fear is a fear of failure. Number two, a fear of success. This might surprise you. You might say, no, Robin, I don't fear success. I want success. I crave success. I'm ready for success. But that fear of success might be living within the realm of the subconscious. And your job is to do the inner work to bring that fear which lives within the realm of the subconscious and bring it into your conscious awareness so you can actually get to know it. So you know what, Robin? You're right. I do have a fear of success. And it usually comes from our upbringing and our childhood. You might have had parents who said, you know what? Don't be too successful, because what will people think? Don't stand out too much. And we replay these messages, and these form our core beliefs and actually limit us and create these fears of failure or success. Which brings me to the third core human fear, a fear of rejection. Almost every human being has struggled with this fear of rejection. We don't ask for what we want because we have a fear of rejection. And as I've said, failure is simply not trying. And most times our fear of rejection is based on an assumption which again is not true. We fear rejection, so we don't ask for the better table in the restaurant. And yet those few times that you reach in yourself and have the courage to ask for that better table, the server looks at you and says, absolutely, I didn't know you wanted that, sure. Or we look at our life partner. Say it's your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And you want to ask for something, but you have that fear of rejection playing through your mind. And you muster up your courage and you actually ask for what you want. And your partner says, oh, absolutely, I didn't know you wanted that. You see, most of us are not really gifted at mind reading. And so often we have these assumptions of what people will say if we ask for what we want. And those are just our assumptions. The only way to find out the truth is to take the risk. The only way to find out the truth is to get in the game and have the courage to ask for what you want and to go for what you dream. So it's so important to chase your dreams, and it's so important to ask for what you want in a respectful, loving way. My friend Paulo Coelho, who wrote the wonderful book, The Alchemist, writes in that book, what people think of us becomes more important than our destiny. And so often, that's what this fear of rejection does to us. We get so consumed by what people will think of us, we give up on our own dreams. Which brings me to the fourth core human fear, a fear of not being good enough. And related to that is a fear of not being smart enough. And again, it astonishes me how many people that you think are incredibly successful, let's say a top CEO or a top athlete, and you'd think they don't struggle with any self-esteem issues. And yet when you go deep and you get to know some of these people that we put on a pedestal, you realize they have a fear of not being good enough. So many of the executives I've coached present themselves so well. You look at the sophisticated, well-educated, polished exterior. And yet when we go deep in the coaching process, as we try to move through their greatest fears, we move through their limitations, they say to me, Robin, you're absolutely right. At a core level, I guess I just don't feel good enough. Psychologists call it the imposter syndrome. We put on this social mask in order to look like we perceive people expect us to appear. And yet deep inside, we feel like a fraud. So in your own life, ask yourself, do you have this fear of not being good enough? Is nothing ever enough for you? Do you feel like you're not smart enough? And is that limiting you? A lot of times at the Awakening Best Self Weekend, people will say, you know what? I just don't feel smart enough. And again, where does that come from? It goes back to childhood. Maybe in grade 3, Mrs. Montgomery said to that person, you know what? You're never going to amount to anything. You know, you're not really that smart. And in that moment, a core belief was set up in the mind of that child that they weren't smart. And now they're 45 or 55 or 60 years old, and they're still running that core belief. Why? Because they've never looked at it. They've never done the inner work to deal with that fear and transcend that fear. The fifth core human fear, a fear of not having enough. And this is a big one. So many of us have this fear of scarcity. What you put out in the world is what the world sends back to you. Here's a very powerful idea. We get from life not what we want. We get from life who we are. And our outer world is actually a mirror reflection of our inner world. If you have this fear of not having enough, if you have this fear of scarcity, you're actually projecting that out into your world. And here's the process. If you have a fear of not having enough, that is going to affect your choices. And your choices are going to affect your results. I'll give you a specific example. Let's say you're running a business, and your business is going really well, and your clients love you. But deep within you, you have a fear of not having enough. Because perhaps when you grew up in poverty. So now your business is doing well, but you're still running this fear of not having enough. So rather than offering your clients outrageous value, and rather than being generous and abundant, you're all about the cash grab. Rather than under-promising and over-delivering, you over-promise and you under-deliver. You chase every penny. Rather than operating under a win-win philosophy, for you, it's all about win-lose. You have to win, and the other party has to lose. So I think you can see the result of that kind of philosophy. That actual fear will create your external results. And then you might say to yourself, if you're not conscious and not taking personal responsibility, you might say, well, this industry is no longer a good industry. Or you might say, you know what? It's a hard time in my business. And what I'm inviting you to consider is everything that occurs in your outer life is a reflection of what goes on in your inner life. I've had the privilege of coaching a number of billionaires. And in their mindset, it's all about abundance. It's all about delivering outrageous value to people. It's all about giving their customers more than they can expect. And these people also live in a constant, consistent state of gratitude. They appreciate what they have. Okay, the sixth core human fear, a fear of looking different. Almost every one of us struggle with this in our society. We put on this social mask. We don't live our truth. We become lawyers because our parents expected us to become lawyers. Or we marry this person because we think this is the kind of person that society expects us to be with if we want to appear to be successful. And in doing so, we commit the number one crime a human being can commit, which is the crime of self-betrayal. It is so important to be yourself. It is so important to do your dreams. It is so important to live by your philosophy. It is so important to live by your values. It's so important to be yourself. That to me is the number one way to get happy. It's the number one way to live a beautiful life. Just be authentic. Live life on your own terms. Run your own race. But how can you do that if you have a fear of looking different? If you have a fear of what other people will think? So that is a core human fear that we all struggle with. Carl Jung, the celebrated psychologist, had this term he called participation mystique. And what participation mystique is all about is this need for almost every human being to be a part of the crowd. So many of us are like these lemmings, following the other lemmings as we walk off the cliff. I think what leadership is really all about is reaching within yourself and saying, you know, what do I want to stand for in life? What are my dreams? Who am I truly? And strip away all the social constructs and be true to yourself. That's what Shakespeare was saying when he said, to thine own self be true. And to me, that's what a great life is all about. To me, that's what leadership is all about. The seventh core fear that I've identified is a fear of losing control. So many of us need to cling to control, whether it's the way we organize our offices, whether it's the way we organize our days, whether it's the way we structure our lives. But in so many ways, you can see people just clinging to control. They just can't let go of control. And that's all about fear. It's all about fear of the unknown. It's all about fear of letting go. And it's a big fear for a lot of people. The eighth fear I've noticed is a fear of being alone. So many people come to my workshops, and when they begin to speak their truth, they say, you know what, Robin? I've never really realized this, but I am really scared of being alone. And that explains so much of their behavior. It's all an escape. Rather than filling up themselves from the inside, they try to fill up their lives from the outside. And that's a very powerful idea. So many of us believe that the doorway to success swings outward rather than swinging inward. I guess what I'm trying to say is really this. Nothing on the outside can ever fill up the holes that exist within you. One of the greatest keys to happiness is being able to be with yourself and love yourself and appreciate who you are. If you think that making more money or getting a better car or taking better trips or wearing better clothes are going to actually make you feel better about yourself and going to fill you up, I think you might be walking down the wrong path. There's nothing wrong with those things, but nothing on the outside can ever fill up the holes within. The ninth core human fear is a fear of illness. A lot of people have that. And almost every time someone says to me, Robin, I have this huge fear of getting ill, I look at them in the eyes and I say, which one of your parents had that fear of illness? And they will say my mother or my father, but it almost always goes back to childhood because we are taught to fear. The fruit never falls very far from the trees. The 11th core human fear is a fear of love. And this again might surprise you, like the one I shared with you, a fear of success. So many of us actually have a fear of love because we don't feel we're worthy of being loved. And that's why in so many of our relationships, we reject before being rejected. Here's the big idea. Our greatest fears come up when we are closest to our greatest love. Just think about that. When we are closest to what we've always wanted, great love, our greatest fears come up. Our fears sound like this. What if he or she doesn't love me? What if my partner gets to know me and doesn't think I'm as great as they think I am right now? What if I'm not worthy of this? Or here's another big one. What if I open my heart to love and embrace this love and my partner leaves me? So what often happens is we then reject our partner before we believe we will be rejected. And we lose what could have been an incredibly powerful, wonderful relationship. And that brings me to the 12th core human fear, being insignificant. And almost all of us, myself included, struggle with this fear. We have a fear that we will not have lived lives that matter. We have a fear that after we're gone, after we leave the world, we will not be remembered. We have a fear that maybe we did not do everything that we could have done. So I call this the fear of being insignificant. And it's a very powerful fear that runs the lives of so many of us. So then the question then becomes, why do we have fear? If fears don't make sense, if they're not logical, if we're actually great at public speaking, why do we have this fear of public speaking? If we actually want success, why do we fear success? If we're actually healthy, why do we have a fear of illness? Well, there's some very interesting research that's coming down the pipeline into the biology of fear, and I want to share that with you because it's extremely interesting. What this research is actually showing is that human beings actually have a neurological fear network. We're actually hardwired for fear. Let me get into the specifics of it. There are three parts of the human brain. The first is the reptilian brain. This was the first part of our brain to appear in animals over 100 million years ago. And it's a very basic part of the brain. It contains our pure instincts or our natural instincts and is not capable of higher reasoning. Then there's the second part of the human brain. That's called the mammalian brain. This is the second part of our brain that develops in the womb. And this part of the brain, the mammalian brain, holds the amygdala, which is really the storehouse of our emotion. And even more importantly, it holds all of your history of painful and threatening experiences. Now, the amygdala is connected to your endocrine glands, which produces the stress hormones or the hormones of fear known as adrenaline and cortisol. And these hormones create the symptoms of fear in your body, such as queasiness or butterflies in your stomach, the increased alertness that you feel, or the shaky hands. Now, here's the key. The reptilian brain, the amygdala, and the fear hormones evolved over a million years ago. And they arose at a time, or they evolved at a time, when the threat to human survival was mostly physical in nature. We were really fighting for our life on a daily basis back then. This neurobiology of fear which developed served us so well back then, when we had to deal with those physical dangers on a daily basis, when we were just fighting to survive. But now we live in an age where most of these physical threats are gone, and yet we still are hardwired for fear. As E.O. Wilson, the father of evolutionary psychology, stated, and I quote, "Human nature is a hodgepodge of special genetic adaptations to an environment largely vanished, the world of the Ice Age hunter-gatherer." Now here's the big idea. There's a third major part of the brain which has been the last part of the brain to develop, and that's called the neocortex. And the neocortex is where the intellect lives. The neocortex, unlike the reptilian brain, doesn't just act on natural instinct. It has the ability to evaluate what's going on. It offers us the capacity to think and to reflect. And so through the neocortex, which is the site of our higher reasoning, we can actually outthink our fear. We can actually outthink the natural instincts from our reptilian brain. And that's where the self-knowledge I always talk about comes in. You see, if we get to know those 12 core human fears, and if we get to know how they play out, let's say in our meetings at work, or in our personal relationships, or in the fact that we resist change, or how a fear of rejection comes up just before we're ready to ask for a better table in our favorite restaurant, with that self-knowledge or with that self-awareness, we can actually use the higher reasoning abilities of our neocortex to outthink the natural fears that come up. If you've been with me on other programs, you know about this concept I share called the growth point. And essentially it's this, but it's life-changing. Between a stimulus and a response, scientists have actually found we have a 0.25 second window of opportunity to catch our thinking or to catch our fear and to make a better choice. And that is obviously done within the realm of the neocortex. I'll give you a specific example. Let's say you're driving to work and someone cuts you off. So that's the stimulus, the person cutting you off, throws you into fear. Let's say it's a fear of not being respected or a fear of not being treated well. And behind that, let's say, is a fear of rejection. So anyway, the stimulus is someone cutting you off. And let's say your usual pattern is to roll down the window and swear at that person, or to raise a fist at that person. Using the growth point concept, and this comes from the latest scientific research, between that stimulus of the person cutting you off and your usual response of rolling down the window and yelling at that person, you have a 0.25 second window of opportunity where you can actually catch your fear. You can actually catch your thinking because you've done this inner work and you say, you know what? This is one of my fears and this is one of the situations where this fear plays out in my life and I'm fed up with it. So when that person cuts you off, you now have the awareness to catch your fear and to make a better choice. And when you start catching your fears at home and at work and on the street and in all the other areas of your life, you can actually start making better choices. Remember, with better awareness, you make better choices, you begin to see better results. And as you begin to see those better results, you begin to create your best life. Now, I also have to say that our fear not only comes from this neurobiological network, which has evolved over 100 million years of human evolution. The fears that limit us or keep us small in our lives also come from our childhoods. And the process is known by sociologists as enculturation. In other words, in so many ways, we are also taught to fear by those who teach us how the world works. And who are those people? They are our parents and our teachers and society at large in many ways. And I'm not blaming our parents. I'm not blaming our teachers. I'm just offering you some insight into how we pick up so many of our fears. See, the powerful idea is really this. A child will model his parents to get their love. When we're little kids, who do we crave the love of more than any other human being? Our mother and our father. So what do? Almost at a subconscious level, we try to become like them. We act like them. We wear their shoes. We model them, and we assume their fears. Let me give you some specific examples to bring the concept home. Let's say your father was afraid of taking risks. There's a very good chance that you are now an adult who has a fear of taking risks. And you might not even know where this comes from. And you might not even know you have a fear of taking risks. Because so often, as I've suggested, our fears live within the realm of the subconscious. You see, it's almost like an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg is only our conscious awareness. Most of our thinking or most of our awareness is under the water, within the realm of our subconscious. The job of a highly evolved human being dedicated to living their best life, to living their truth, to living their dreams, to realizing their potential is to go under the water and to get to know your subconscious and to get to know those fears that you might not even know you have, but that are limiting you in your life. You might look at your life and say, no, I don't have any fear. But the fact is you do have your fears. You're just not even aware of them. In other words, we don't know what we don't know. I'm going to say that again. We don't know what we don't know. Carl Jung said that all of us have this shadow side, and our fears live within the shadows. And it's not until we get to know the shadow side and actually hold the shadow up to the sunlight of our awareness, up to the light of our attention, that those shadows, those fears can begin to dissolve. And it's not easy, but that's where the courage comes in. So if you had a father who was afraid of taking risks, there's a very good chance you were playing out a similar pattern. Or if you had a mother who was afraid of being herself, she had a fear of being authentic because she was always worried about what would the neighbors think? What would my friends think? What would other families think? There's a very good chance you are running the same pattern unless you have gone under the water into the realm of the subconscious, or unless you've gone into those shadows and done the inner work required to let go of them. Because you are not your parents, you are yourself. You are not your teachers, you are yourself. And you might be asking, Robin, well, how can I get to know these shadows? How can I get to know these fears that I'm not even conscious of? Well, I'm going to share the tools with you in a little bit. The key point to remember is we pick up our fears from the people who teach us how the world works. And it all happens in childhood, and the process is called enculturation. And now we're adults, and we think we see reality. We think we see the world as it truly is. But we don't. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. You've probably heard me say this so many times in my workshops or in previous monthly coach sessions. We see the world through a stained glass window. We see the world through a personal filter. We see the world through our personal context. If you see the world as a place where there's not a lot of possibility for you, if you see the world as a place of scarcity, it's a reflection of what's going on within you, not what's going on within the world. Your life was meant to be beautiful. You were meant to have prosperity. You were meant to have love. You were meant to have wonderful health. All of that is available to you. Begin within. Success on the outside does begin with success on the inside. So now I'm excited to share with you 8 powerful tools which will offer you the cure for fear. And they're pretty simple. You can start to use them immediately. They're not rocket science. They're not complex. I believe in so many ways success is all about the fundamentals, but these tools work. And they've worked with so many clients that I've coached around the world. So here we go. The first tool to move through your fears is to build heightened awareness around your fears. And that can be done in many ways. It can be done by journaling about your fears. It can be done by talking about your fears. It can be done by doing an inventory of your fears. It can be done by interviewing your fears. But the key is really get to know your fears. Take that walk down to the cellar and look at those scary monsters and invite them up for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And you will realize they are a lot smaller than you think. So many people have said to me after I've encouraged them to deal with the fears that are limiting them in their lives and keeping them small, they say, Robin, I don't know why I did not do this earlier. I was frightened when I was doing it, but after I did it, the fear was so much smaller than I initially thought it was. So build awareness around your fears. Start writing about them. Start thinking about what are the fears that are limiting you and how do they play out in your life? How do they play out in your meetings? How do they play out in your conversations? Let's say you have a fear of scarcity. How is that playing out in the way you invest your money or save your money or don't save your money? Let's say you have a fear of not being good enough. How is that playing out in your relationships? How is that playing out in terms of the way you chase your dreams? If you have a fear of being judged by other people or looking different, how is that playing out in terms of the way you interact with people? Are you authentic or are you not authentic? The second tool for the cure for fear. It's so important to validate your fears. In other words, it's so important to acknowledge your fears and then feel your fears. You see, I have a little line that I want to share with you. In order to heal your fears, you need to feel your fears. In order to heal your fears, you need to feel your fears. Often what we do is when a fear comes up, we run away from the fear. It's so important to validate your fears by actually sitting in the space of your fears. Notice where your fear occurs in your body. Let's say it's a fear of public speaking, or let's say it's a fear of rejection. Does that manifest as a tightness in your chest or a knot in your stomach? Get to know those fears. So as soon as a fear comes up, you go, boom, it's right in my body. Oh, I see. This is my fear of rejection because it's that tightness in my tummy. And then sit with the fear and just pay attention to the fear because fear is an emotion and emotions are like rainstorms. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. When you sit with it, eventually that feeling or that fear will begin to clear through you. So the second tool is to simply validate your fears. Look the dragon in the eye and the dragon begins to leave you. Sit with it. Meditate on that fear and do that on a consistent basis and you're going to experience some very powerful healing. The third tool is simply putting a voice to your fear. It's so important to have conversations around your fear with trusted advisors and people who you believe in. You see, fear is a form of energy. And when you begin to put a voice to your fear and say to a trusted advisor or to say to one of your mastermind partners, say, you know what? I have a fear of rejection, or I have a fear of not being good enough. I have a fear of illness, or I have a fear of being insignificant. And you begin to talk through it. And as you begin to talk through it, what you're literally doing is you're taking that shadow part that you didn't even know about, that lived within the realm of the subconscious, and you're bringing it into the realm of the conscious. And that is life-changing. You're actually holding that fear up to the sunlight where it can begin to dissolve. You see, it's so true. What you resist will persist. If you keep on resisting your fears, keep your fears unconscious, you don't even think about them, you structure your whole life to avoid them, they will own you for the rest of your life. And yet when you befriend those fears, by putting a voice to them, you can actually transcend your fears. The fourth tool is a very simple tool. I call it the correspondence with fear. And it simply involves you writing a letter to each of the fears that are limiting you in your life. Write a letter to the fear with as much emotional engagement as possible, saying how the fear will no longer hold you, saying that you will no longer be limited by this fear, saying that your life is so much bigger than the fear. So figure out what your core fears are, and then begin to correspond or write a letter to each one of those fears. And the more you do this, the more you're going to realize that your fears will not have that power hold over you. It might sound cheesy or hokey, but this correspondence with fear actually works, and it's a very powerful tool. The fifth tool to cure fear is actually a behavior more than anything else. I call it execution intelligence around fear. What do I mean by execution intelligence around fear? I simply mean run towards your fear rather than running away from your fear. Be like that master in the temple. And when those dogs of fear are running towards you, run directly towards those dogs. When you're going through your days and there's an opportunity, let's say it's to ask for a big order, to meet a big client, to make a choice that will take your career or your life to the next level, and you begin to feel that fear within you, and it may present itself as anxiety or a shaking of the hands, or simply feeling a frustration, first of all, acknowledge that fear, and then secondly, run towards that fear. The real key is to notice that fear, and then to do the very thing that you're afraid of doing. Noah Benshee, the author, once said, "The fears that we do not climb become your walls." And for you, I do not want any walls in your life. I want the best for you. I want you to live your best life. Because imagine what the world would look like if every single one of us was living our best lives and truly coming from a place of love and self-belief and self-compassion, living our greatness. This whole world would be operating at a whole new level. And we can do that one by one by one. It's that domino effect. If each of us does our inner work, we begin to release our fears and move more into the light, one by one by one, the world begins to elevate. Reminds me of what Mother Teresa once said. She said, "If each of us would only clean our own doorstep, the whole world would be clean." Okay, the sixth tool is the tool of collaging. And what's collaging? It's simply this. One of the best ways to move through your fears is to have a compelling reason to move through your fears. You want to be so invested in your best life that you're going to blow through your fears no matter what they are. And taking out a piece of Bristol board or a big piece of paper and then doing a collage, in other words, taking images of your best life, whether it's the home you want to live in, whether it's what you want your relationships to look like, whether it's what you want your health to look like, whether it's the vacations you want to have, impact you want to have on society, whatever it is, you want to have in front of you a giant visual image or a collage of all those little images representing your best life. And you want to visit with that collage on a daily basis, preferably in the morning when your mind is most open to imprinting. You see, the more you can see your best life right in front of you, the more engagement you're going to bring into your life. Most people don't make those choices to move through their fears because they really don't have a burning desire to get to the next level. They really don't know what their best life is going to look like. And yet, consistently, the people who I have seen living the greatest lives are those who know intimately what they want to create, and they're so excited about their dreams and their greatest goals. The seventh tool to cure your fears is to tell yourself new stories. Here's the big idea. We think in terms of stories and words. We define reality by the words we tell ourselves. What you want to do is you want to tell yourself a whole new series of stories. In other words, you want to reframe your reality. Let's say you're running a perfectionism schema. In other words, nothing you ever do is ever good enough. You've accomplished a lot. You have a great life. You have a great family. You have great health. You have a great career. And yet you feel unworthy. You feel that you're so far from the top of the mountain, you're never going to get there. And behind that is really this fear of not being enough, and perhaps the fear of not having enough. What you want to do is you want to tell yourself a new story. You want to use a whole new series of words to describe your current reality. A more powerful or helpful story might be this. You know what? It's great to reach for the top of the mountain. It's great to want to get better. It's great to want to be more. It's great to want to realize more of my highest potential. But it's always a balance. And I'm so blessed with what I have in my life right now. I live in the greatest country in the world. I have people who love me. I have fresh air. I have the opportunity to create my best life. And you continue to tell yourself a whole new story. What you want to do is you want to reframe your perspective. Most of us don't have perspective. So the seventh tool is to simply begin to tell yourself new stories. Begin to use new language. Begin to develop a greater sense of gratitude. Begin to develop a greater sense of appreciation. And celebrate a richer reality. And that brings me to the eighth and final tool for a cure for fear. And that tool is a simple one, and yet perhaps the most powerful one, love. And here's the big idea. Love is the antidote to fear. What I'm really suggesting to you is where there is love, there cannot be fear. Love and fear cannot coexist in the same moment. When you're actually feeling love, whether it's love for your child, love for being in the moment, love for your work, you cannot feel fear. And that's why I encourage you to make your life as much of a celebration as possible. That's why I encourage you to spend a lot of time in gratitude and celebrate or count your blessings as much as possible. Because in my mind, gratitude is really another form of fear. So there you have them, the eight tools that will provide you with a system to help you move through your fear so that you can find and realize your greatest life. I want to honor you for being with me on this program. I want to celebrate you for having the courage to look at your fears and hug your monsters. And please remember, when you run directly towards your greatest fears, they begin to lose their power over you. It is just like that wise man in the temple. When he ran towards the dogs ran in the other direction. And please also remember that there is no security in the safe harbor of the known. That's just an illusion. Your greatest life lives on the other side of your fears. Your greatest life lives not in the safe harbor of the known, but out into the unknown, the place where real possibilities lie. I guess what I'm really saying is the place where your greatest fears live truly is the place where your greatest growth lies. I'd like to leave you with a quote from Frank Herbert, the author of Dune, which I think is very powerful and I think will really frame the discussion that we've had. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. For more ideas on moving through your fears and services that we offer that will help you play your biggest game as a human being, I invite you to visit robinsharma.com. There you'll find my daily blog, services such as the Monthly Coach and the Elite Performer Series and our Awakening Best Self Weekend, along with many articles and other insights that will help you as you journey from your fears to your highest freedom. Thanks again for being with me. I wish you the very best. I look forward to meeting you one day. I'm your monthly coach, Robin Sharma.